Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Bucks are riding a four-game win streak. A very, very good chance of pushing that to five. Tomorrow night against the Charlotte Hornets, the revenge game against the Charlotte Hornets. I mentioned this last night on Bucks Talk, on the post-game show as well. You might look at that game tomorrow against the Hornets and be a little weary and say, well, this could be a trap game here. You have the Los Angeles Clippers coming to town on Thursday night. 9 o'clock tip. We'll get to that in a moment, but a 9 o'clock tip Thursday, and it is not game one or two of a back-to-back for the Clippers. They'll be relatively well rested, so you do anticipate to see Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, all the heavy hitters for the Los Angeles Clippers. So on the one hand, you could look at tomorrow night's game and say, well, potential for a trap game, but this is a Charlotte Hornets team that, frankly, embarrassed the Bucks a couple of weeks ago, earlier in the month of January, when the Hornets came to town and beat the Bucks 138-109. So I think it's a Bucks team that is going to be up to the challenge of facing this Hornets team. And again, Chris Middleton was the only guy missing the night you played them. You had Giannis, you had Brooke Lopez, you had Drew Holiday, you had Bobby Portis. It was just Chris Middleton that was out of action in that game. And start to finish, things did not go the Bucks' way. So I think it's going to be a much, much different Bucks team we see tomorrow in this round two of the home game, at least, against the Charlotte Hornets. But in the meantime here, a four-game win streak. The offense has looked incredible of late. They're scoring 130 points with regularity. Offensive rating still not budging. Still entering play tomorrow. Well, we'll see what happens with the games tonight. But as of right now, the Bucks are still ranked 24th in offensive efficiency. In the month of January alone, the Bucks are 22nd. So despite all these scoring outbursts, and as we mentioned, 130-plus that they're scoring almost on a nightly basis, they're not really moving the needle in terms of their offensive rating. Still third in defensive rating and getting closer and closer to the top spot. But the offense is still kind of a work in progress, despite the high volume of points they're scoring, and despite the three-point shooting once again coming back around. There's a couple of things that go into that we'll get to a little bit later on in the show, but I mentioned it in passing with Brian Noonan. Giannis has been named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. So you get Giannis and Drew Holiday starting to regularly take home that hardware. That is a good thing. And speaking of good things, when we look at this injury report for tomorrow's game against the Charlotte Hornets, Marjan Beauchamp and Giannis both listed as probable. Once again, that was the same deal for the game Sunday against the somewhat Denver Nuggets. Of course, Bobby Portis and Serge Ibaka both out as well, but an identical injury report. Frankly, a little bit surprised that Giannis is not listed as questionable and potential of missing that game. Took a couple of hard falls, knocked knees at one point, and was listed with a sore right knee or right knee soreness on the injury report. So a little bit surprised knowing that it's a bad Charlotte Hornets team, that you wouldn't use this as some rest. And honestly, when we saw the injury report for the Denver Nuggets for last night's game, I was very surprised there weren't more names for the Bucks either. But they're kind of in this interesting spot now where, you know, we talked about the first nine games and the importance of winning those winnable games, because the schedule got more difficult in December. You were still very shorthanded, so you had a very easy schedule to begin the season. It was very, very important to win those games you were supposed to win. The Bucks did that and started 9-0. Then December hit. You were still hurt. You didn't get Joe Ingles back until the 19th of December. You didn't get Joe Ingles, period, until the 19th of December. You got Chris Middleton back in early December. Then he was out of the lineup. Then he came back in the middle of the month. Then he went down again and didn't return until just recently. So you went through some struggles in December. I think part of this is we're going to have some time off coming up. The schedule starts to shift once again in these coming weeks here for the Bucks leading up to the trade deadline. We'll have that built-in rest. Let's start to make up some more ground here because Philadelphia has all of a sudden caught fire. And it's really not just all of a sudden. Really, for the last 2 months, the 76ers have arguably been the best team in the Eastern Conference. They're playing well. The Brooklyn Nets have started to fall back a little bit just because of the injuries that they're dealing with. The Boston Celtics are starting to play very well once again. They've won 7 of their last 10. So you look at the top of the East, Boston Celtics have won 7 of their last 10. Sixers have won 9 of their last 10. They're on a 7-game win streak, and it looks like that streak is going to be extended to 8 tonight, or at least at last check, there is a good chance of that. And you got the Bucks, who have won 7 of their last 10. So those three teams, it really seems as though they're starting to separate themselves as the top. I would still put the Bucks and the Celtics at the very top and the Sixers just behind them. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with those teams. As I mentioned a number of times, the Bucks, the Cavaliers, the Miami Heat have all really been decimated with injuries. When you look at man games lost to injury, we'll update you on those numbers in just a moment, but those are the three teams in the Eastern Conference that have been crushed the most. In terms of those teams competing for the postseason, those are the teams that have dealt with the most man games lost to injury. The Celtics, the 76ers, and the Brooklyn Nets have all been relatively healthy. And I know the Nets are playing without Kevin Durant right now. I know the 76ers had that stretch with no James Harden, no Tyrese Maxey. At the same time, the Bucks have started to kind of even things out now. For the longest time, they were leading all of basketball with the most man games lost to injury. Then they dropped to about 5th or so. Now they've dropped down to 10th. You're still missing games with Bobby Portis, but you're getting a lot of guys back. Joe Ingles, as we mentioned, came back December 19th. Chris Middleton has been back. Giannis has been back. So you're consistently healthy now. It's just one name you're really missing while the Heat and Cavaliers are still running away with this. But the Bucks have started to balance themselves out a little bit and get more healthy. That, to me, is one of the two biggest things to keep an eye on in the second half of the season. The trade deadline is number one. And, of course, that is less than 2 weeks away. The trade deadline, number one. But health for these three teams, specifically the 76ers and the Boston Celtics, but throwing the Brooklyn Nets as well. Does their health start to balance out? And is there a regression to the mean for how relatively healthy they've been this season? We will get to the sub of the week. We'll preview the marquee matchup. I think we already tipped our hand there in previewing the rest of this week in terms of the weekday games that the Bucks have at Fiserv Forum. But when we return, we'll hand things off to Gale Klappa, as he has a conversation this week with Brooke Lopez. Should be a very, very entertaining listen there. Gale Klappa and Brooke Lopez courtside after this on Bucks Weekly.
The names you know.
We're joined by one of the key players on the Bucks roster, Bucks forward Pat Connaughton. He's a player that Wisconsin fans know well. Wesley Matthews, a majority owner and the current governor of the team, Mark Lansry.
Talking about your favorite basketball team, from on the court to off.
You never know, you might not have that many years left, so the hunger is for sure still there.
But I mean this, I think the fans in Milwaukee honestly recruited Bobby Portis more than anybody. I mean, he loves the fans in Milwaukee.
It's time to go courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Winter has finally arrived. Around Fiserv Forum, the tundra is frozen. But inside on the hardwood, the Bucks offense has been smoking hot. After resting a sore knee, Giannis is back doing Giannis-like things. Chris Middleton getting healthy again. Jrue Holiday been playing like an all-star. And our guest tonight has been patrolling the paint, blocking shots, and splashing some threes. Splash Mountain may have seen its last days at Disney World in Florida, but Milwaukee's very own Splash Mountain, Brooke Lopez, is alive and well. He's a strong candidate for Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA. And Brooke joins us tonight here on Courtside. Brooke, welcome. Great to be with you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Brooke, 50 games now in the books, and the hunt for playoff position is obviously heating up. What's your take, Brooke, so far on the play of the Bucks this season?
Oh, man, it's been great. You know, I think what's impressed me the most is just how we've had a variety of lineups this season, people in and out of the lineups, and we've still played very well.
That's for sure. And speaking of, Brooke, there's one amazing side note about the injury and illness the Bucks have faced. There has been, you may be aware of this, there's been only one game, just one, so far this season, where the Bucks have had their full roster available to play. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's wild to think, you know, and it's honestly scary to think. We're a really deep team. We have so many guys that can play and guys that play the right way, play together, play unselfishly. It's a great group, great group.
And I know right now we have Bobby Portis out for perhaps another month. How do you view the team adjusting to that? Looks like we're trying to fill Bobby's minutes by committee.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. You know, no one can replace Bobby and the things that BP does, the energy he brings to the team. And so it's definitely a job that has to be done by committee, you know. And we definitely go about it in an interesting way, you know. Pat Connaughton has done a great job doing some things that would normally be up to Bobby. Wesley has been playing some minutes at the five. You know, it's definitely been by committee.
I have not seen before Wesley Matthews playing in that particular position. Is that a new challenge for him, Brooke?
I don't know if it's a challenge necessarily because Wes is up for it, but it's definitely something different for him, you know. It just shows how smart a basketball player he is, how talented a basketball player he is, because, I mean, he's essentially out there now playing positions 2 through 5, right, and guarding any position.
And that's not easy to do. And Brooke, talk a little bit about Drew Holiday. Conference Player of the Week in the Eastern Conference a couple of weeks ago and really, really stepped up when Giannis was resting his knee.
Yeah. I mean, he's just been phenomenal, you know, and this has been no secret to us of what he's been capable of, no secret to guys who really know the NBA, you know, his whole career. But it's great to be on the court out there with them, seeing them do these things and all the accolades, everything like that. They've been, you know, so well deserved. You know, we've always known how great Drew is, and he's been even better this year.
And Brooke, over the past 7 games, as you know, the Bucks offense has just come alive. The team's averaging 128 points a game during that stretch. The team has hit 43% of their 3-point shots during that stretch. What do you think is fueling this strong offensive performance, particularly over the last 7 games?
I think we've just been playing quicker. You know, it obviously helps that we've been making shots, but we've been playing quicker in transition and in the half court. And we've improved. You know, it's something we've been working on all season, and we've been trying to break down at that door, and that's finally happened.
And since coming back from a few days of rest, Giannis seems to have superpowers, dropping in 50 points last night. My gosh, Brooke, on just 26 shots against New Orleans. You've seen Giannis up close and personal for several years now. From your vantage point, Brooke, what's been the most important key to the growth and success that we're seeing from Giannis?
I mean, he's always adding something new to his game. He's always working on his game, trying to become a more complete and even better player. And it's been hard to see how that would be possible. He's been great before, but this year, obviously shooting the ball better, but the way he's attacked the rim and some of the ways he's finished while getting to the rim and making these layups, you know, and shots in the paint point blank of that nature, they're not easy shots. You know, he's getting to the basket, but he's making tough finishes. And it just shows how great his touch is, how great his feel is, and that work he has put in.
And, Brooke, off and on, as you know, Giannis has struggled at the free throw line. You historically have been 80% or better free throw shooter. What's your sense of how Giannis can continue to get better at the line, which is really probably the only major flaw in his game?
It's just about having that confidence, you know, and he works on it every single day. And you can tell he has been improving. You know, he's absolutely been improving. He's committed to improving. And it's just getting used to being at the line and shooting it like it's second nature. Just getting good reps in, and he does that, and he has been improving. So he's just going to continue to work on it and continue to get better at it.
And, Brooke, we had one major offseason signing. The Bucks over the offseason brought in a veteran, Joe Ingles, a real character, but a tremendously talented guy. Give us your sense of Joe Ingles and how he's working in with the team.
Yeah, I mean, Joe's just an amazing person to be around, a hilarious person to be around. You know, I think he makes whatever's going on, whatever situation, and fun for the entire team. You know, he's always talking, ribbing guys a little bit and stuff like that. But it's good nature. I think it builds camaraderie, honestly. And then on the court, it's hard not to say that a part of this offensive boom isn't because of Joe. You know, it's been having Joe back, you know, the rush shaken off a little bit. And he's been great at just making decisions out there. He plays at his own speed. He shoots the ball so well. He makes incredible plays for everyone else in the pick and roll. Makes people better in the pick and roll and while driving. He's definitely been a great, great key addition for us.
And his passing ability is really elite, wouldn't you say, Brooke?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I mean when he makes other players better. You know, he just makes plays when he's out there. Obviously, guys have to respect his shot, respect what he can do himself offensively. And he's so good at finding the open guy and finding the guy who should have the ball in that moment on offense and getting it done.
We'll have more with Splash Mountain Brooke Lopez in just a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's Gale Klaffa and Bucks center Brooke Lopez.
Brooke, you're arguably having the best season of your career as a Milwaukee Buck on both ends of the court. Actually, one NBA scout, you may be aware of this, actually said that after your back surgery last season, he thinks you found the fountain of youth. Tell our listeners what it took to come back from that surgery and how your back is responding to the physical stress of a very long NBA season.
Yeah, honestly, coming back from that back surgery at the end of last season and then in this past off season, it was just commitment to a lot of work, you know, in the weight room, getting physical therapy, you know, being committed to taking care of my body myself, you know, getting massages, you know, icing, things like that. And then being in the weight room and getting that work done. So my body will be prepared and strong for when the season comes.
And Brooke, it looks like you're moving so freely on the court. You know, back surgeries, as you know, can be very tricky, but it seems like this particular procedure really worked well for you.
It did. It did. You know, we had a great doctor out in L.A. handle the surgery, and I've been lucky. I feel just completely healthy. You know, I do feel like a different player out there. I felt free, and I've been enjoying that feeling.
I can imagine. Brooke, just curious, for how many years did you know you had a deteriorating back problem?
It'd probably been a couple years, honestly. It first came to my concern when I was with the Lakers that one year. And we just treat it various ways if we'd had a flare up or something like that. You know, there was never anything too serious that needed a back surgery. And so we just doctor it, whether it was with shots or, you know, sitting out, resting it, getting treatment for it. Things of that nature. But when it came time this time around, we tried a lot of those things last season, and it just wasn't getting better. You know, just stay the same or get worse. And so we kind of knew in December of last season at that point, after sitting out that many games, we weren't seeing any progress. So we knew we had to do something about it. And it turned out to be a blessing, you know, blessing in disguise, because here I am, you know, feeling better than I have in a long time in my career.
That's terrific. And speaking of your career, Brooke, you're second in the league with 121 shots blocked heading into this week's play. contesting shots without fouling, though, Brooke. I know that's Coach Bud's mantra. That's got to be one of the toughest things to do in today's NBA. Your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. You know, because obviously you want to be aggressive, you want to protect the paint, but you got to be smart with it as well. And there's so many guys in this league nowadays that, you know, just so many great athletes in this league who are so good at getting downhill, being explosive, getting in the air. You know, you got to be in the right place at the right time and vertical. You got to, you know, get vertical, get that verticality so you can protect the basket in the right way. Otherwise, it's a foul. And so it's just a matter of getting that timing right and really reading what the offense is trying to do because, again, you know, there's so many players like Ja Morant of the league like that who just can turn it on, get downhill, and when they jump, you know, they don't just jump high. They jump quick, too, and powerfully. And so you have to be good about getting to your space, declaring your space so it's not a foul when you go up.
That's not easy with as fast as the game is played. And Brooke, speaking of offense, so far this season, you're hitting more than 38% of your three-point shots overall, hitting 50% from the field. Just curious, did you set some personal goals? And if so, how do those great numbers stack up against your own expectations?
Yeah, I just knew coming into this next season I wanted to be a better three-point shooter. I knew that doing that was one way I could help the team more. I was just trying to find ways I could, you know, become better this offseason to help the team. That was the bottom line for me. And so it was about me becoming a better three-point shooter, becoming better at moving laterally so I can be a better defender in certain situations if I obviously needed the help, but if I had to switch on guards and things like that, you know, just doing what I could to help the team.
Brooke, do you miss the days of Brooklyn Brook when really basically you were in the post and scoring like crazy for the Nets?
I definitely do sometimes. You know, that's obviously a different aspect of basketball for me, and I don't get to see that as much. So I do miss that sometimes, but I love being on a winning team with guys like we have here. The culture is incredible. It's the best I've ever been around. And my teammates are just the best teammates I've ever played with. So I'm so happy to be here and be in the situation.
Yeah, amen. And, Brooke, one other kind of philosophical question for you. There are those who believe that we're in a golden age of scoring in the NBA and that the teams are more competitive than they've ever been. So the old phrase, on any given night, something strange can happen. What's your perspective on scoring in the NBA, on defense in the NBA this season?
I think that definitely the players are the most talented they've ever been, like top to bottom. I think players are most talented they've ever been just because of the way the game's progressed and built. You know, it's just different now from how it was 10 years ago versus 20 years ago, how talented the kids are that come in the league. It's just mind-boggling to see rookies coming in the league and the things that they can do. And then I do have to say that I just think some of the rule changes that have made it easier to score obviously make a huge difference now versus, you know, again, 10 to 20 years ago.
Fascinating. And we'll have more with Brooke Lopez right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
Back to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's Gail Klappa and Bucks big man Brooke Lopez.
Brooke, I know that you're the world's biggest fan of all things Disney. So it must have been quite an emotional blow. My gosh, when Disney World decided to shut down the iconic Splash Mountain ride. Talk about your reaction to that.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of disappointment for me. It's unfortunate, you know, and it's been odd because we've known for so long that this was going to happen, and it had stayed open. Typically, these things are announced, you know, and within the year at least, you know, the attraction's closed and gone, but with Splash Mountain, it's been prolonged. And so I guess it's good in that way that, you know, we got more time to enjoy it, I guess, before it went away. But it's definitely been disappointing for me.
And Brooke, I heard that between games, you actually were able to sneak in a trip to Florida for one last ride on Splash Mountain. Tell us about that adventure.
Yeah. Coach Bud was cool enough to let me go. You know, he realized this is something really special to me, and let me go down to Orlando after our Cleveland game to say goodbye that day. And so myself, Haley, and some friends from Orlando, we went to the park that evening, the day after the Cleveland game, and visited Splash Mountain for the last time. You know, we gone it six times. We would ride Splash, go do another attraction like Haunted Mansion, go back, ride Splash again like twice, then go do Big Thunder Mountain to dry off in its speed, and then go back and do Splash more. So it was a bittersweet evening. It felt a little weird, but it was definitely a fun, enjoyable, great goodbye to Splash Mountain.
So, Brooke, how much talking did you have to do to convince Coach to do that?
I was ready to, you know, really politic put the work in to get it done, but he was very generous about it. And, you know, I do owe him now. So I'm sure I got to figure out something probably golf related of that nature, set something for him up. You know, that's not the way he works, but, you know, in return, that's what I mean, you know, not that he's demanding, but as a gift in return.
Brooke, I know Coach Bud a little bit. That is how he works. I'm thinking you probably ought to figure out how to get him at Augusta pretty soon.
There, in Augusta. That's hilarious. That's perfect. That's exactly what he said.
I believe that. And Brooke, speaking of new adventures, you've decided to get married, and you proposed, I understand, on one knee at Disney World, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's right, yes.
So tell us a little bit about your fiance and the timing of when you're planning to tie the knot.
Yeah, well, we actually met at Disney World years and years ago, the year after my rookie year, in the Animal Kingdom theme park at Walt Disney World. And so it was only natural that we get engaged there. I set it up so that it would work out that way. August 15th was the day we met. So to the day, I made sure we were in that park that night for a nice dinner. And then after it was closed, we got to still be in there, walk around, hang out. And I found a nice picturesque spot, set it up with Disney, everything like that. Haley didn't know. Did the deed and got pictures as it happened, and caught her off guard. Luckily, she was surprised.
So there's a bit of romanticism in you, Brooke.
There must be a little bit, yeah.
And Brooke, switching gears a bit, you and your twin brother Robin have had a friendly rivalry, if I'm saying that correctly, over many years in the NBA. How's that brotherly relationship coming, Brooke?
It's, you know, it's probably about the same, honestly, but, you know, we're divisional rivals now on the two leading teams in the division. So it's got some things to go through. This relationship, definitely has its hurdles right now. I'm sure it's pretty likely we'll meet up in the playoffs at some point. That would be exciting. And, you know, we'd have to beat each other up in that setting, which I'm not sure has happened yet.
And Robin, in your mind, is he still the bad brother?
Oh, well, of course. There's no question about that. I mean, I think that was guaranteed once he left Milwaukee, like we really knew his true colors then.
Last question, is Robin going to be your best man at the wedding?
Oh, easy one. No, he is not. easy okay. question. He is not going to be my best man. That was a given.
Will he be disappointed that you're not inviting him to be best man?
Maybe he can maybe be an usher or something like that. We'll see. Maybe. If he's invited, even if he's invited, you know?
But I assume only if you beat him in the playoffs, right, Brooke?
Yeah, definitely we have to beat him. Otherwise, he's absolutely not going, yeah.
Terrific. Oh, gosh. Brooke, always fun to visit with you. Thanks so much for taking the time. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
All right, our thanks to Gail Klompa for his conversation this week with Brooke Lopez. If you missed any of that, you can find the interview in its entirety on the Bucks flagship podcast feed. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can get this show. You can get Bucks Talk after each and every Bucks game as well. So be sure to check out the Bucks flagship podcast feed wherever it is that you get your podcast. We'll get to the sub of the week momentarily, but just to round out on that point about the man games lost, Bucks have dropped down to 10th. Man games lost to injury this season. That is good. Considering where they were at the start of the season, the Boston Celtics are 20th. I continue to mention, just keep an eye these last couple of months on the Celtics, the Sixers, and the Brooklyn Nets, because they have been very, very fortunate with the injuries. Boston is 20th, Brooklyn is 28th, and Philadelphia is 25th for games lost to injury this season. And I also mentioned the 76ers win streak at 7. I said there was a good chance it extends to 8 tonight. I lied. 76ers lose to those pesky Orlando Magic, who have beaten the Sixers now tonight. They've beaten the Boston Celtics 3 times already this season. 119-109 win for the Magic tonight. So the Philadelphia 76ers are now 32-17 behind the Bucks, who are 33-17. A good chance to get to 34-17 tomorrow night when they take on the Charlotte Hornets. Let's jump out to the phone lines. And if you want to join us here in the final few minutes or so of the program, 855-616-1620. You got questions on the trade deadline. Got questions about tomorrow's matchup. You want to know how is Dave Kane really off the air? I'll give you the dirt on that. You can ask me anything in the final 10 minutes of this show. But let's go to the phone lines, talk with our pal James on the south side. What's on your mind tonight, James?
Yeah, Giannis scored 50 last night. And I know it's pretty hard to do that. But do you feel that if he would have did that against, say, maybe the Celtics or one of the other teams that's a little more higher up that's playing right now, that they would have meant a lot more than against the Pelicans, which is kind of a lesser team type of thing, playing when he does that, or triple doubles and some of this other stuff that he gets for his records and stuff like that? I mean,
it would have meant more. Would have meant more to who? To us, or like to national people for the MVP vote and things like that?
Yeah, I think that way more credibility type of thing, because I feel that I know he's a great player. I mean, hey, Giannis is Giannis. I mean, hey, watching him play on TV or that, he does, or even listening to him on radio when you know, get a chance or that. I know he's a really great player and he makes the team. I mean, without Giannis, we would be nowhere. Type of thing, but how do you feel about that?
Well, thanks for the call, James. I'm glad you asked. I mean, I think it's if he would have done that against the 76ers or against the Boston Celtics, sure, it's a launching point or a good talking point, but it's also January. And I mean, last year, when you look at the stretch you put together late in the season, the back-to-back games against the Sixers and the Nets, I was pretty certain he had propelled himself into the MVP discussion, and then the Bucks ended up finishing third, and he kind of slowed down the stretch there. A lot of it had to do with playing time, but I don't know. I mean, you've seen the talk in the last couple of days here after Joel Embiid went and did what he did against the Denver Nuggets on Saturday. I think it was 47 and 18 that he scored, of like, oh, this is what Joel Embiid needs to do against Nikola Jokic. The two guys have finished 1 and 2 for MVP voting the last couple of years. I mean, it's January. To score 50 still stands out, and he's done it twice this month. But he's tied for the league lead in most 40-point games. I don't think Giannis is going to win the MVP this season, and I'm fine with that. It's probably either going to be Nikola Jokic or Joel Embiid, and it kind of seems like it's Joel Embiid because of all the chirping and the constant bickering and Daryl Morey. I think, now to be fair to Daryl Morey, I didn't listen to the full clip, the full interview of what he said, but when he had said the shameless Boston media was the reason why Jason Tatum was starting over Joel Embiid, I'm going to give Daryl Morey the benefit of the doubt and assume that he said that tongue-in-cheek, but it's also kind of a pattern with Daryl Morey and his guys. But I think, you know, Joel Embiid, it's just, I think people have kind of grown tired of the shtick. And Giannis is, he's not Steph because everybody loves Steph, but Giannis seems to be the closest thing we have to that, where if you don't like Giannis, that's just on you, because he does nothing to bring it on to himself. When we come back, the sub of the week, the marquee matchup of the week, and we'll get you set for tomorrow. Is tomorrow the marquee matchup? Spoiler alert, no, it is not, against the Charlotte Hornets. But we'll tell you what is the marquee matchup and wrap up the show after this. Ain't no way they can stop me now. Wrapping things up here on Bucks Weekly. Again, my thanks to Gale Klappa for his conversation with Brooke Lopez. If you missed it, you can find it on the Bucks flagship podcast feed here, wherever you get your podcasts. The sub of the week for the week that was since we last spoke here on Bucks Weekly. To me, it's a no-brainer. Tommy, you got a guess?
It's got to be Chris.
It's Chris Middleton, 3 games back as a super sub. The only bench player to score or average double figures for the Bucks in this previous week. But 3 games off the bench for Chris. Averaged 12 points a game, shot 47% from the field. 27% from 3, we'll kind of gloss over that. But just getting it back out there on the floor, 3 rebounds, just under 4 assists as well. Making a big impact, Chris Middleton, our sub of the week for the previous week. Your marquee matchup is Thursday night when the Bucks host the Los Angeles Clippers. And Clippers play tomorrow in Chicago against the Bulls. So they will be in Milwaukee Wednesday with the day off, before a Thursday night 9 p.m. tip. And they don't play again until Saturday in New York against the Knicks. So there is no back-to-back, ample rest opportunities. I fully expect to see Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in that game. And, oh, by the way, you have the Clippers again a week later, February 10th in Los Angeles, and it's the same deal. The Clippers have a home game against the Mavericks on February 8th. They do not play on the 9th. They host the Bucks on the 10th, and they do not play again until February 14th. So 2 games against the Clippers where there is a good chance you are going to see them full strength. Clippers have been okay so far this season. 28 and 25, 4th in the West. But depending on the day of the week and what the rest of the schedule is, you look at some of these Clipper lineups. Last night, their most recent game, they scored 99 points in a loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And this, to me, this number encapsulates the Clippers season more than anything else. So last night they played, Tommy, they lost to the Cavs 122 to 99. How many points would you guess their bench scored in that game? So Kawhi Leonard didn't play. Paul George didn't play. I don't think you could name more than 4 Clippers that played in this game. 99 total points scored. How many came from the bench?
Give me 12.
Oh, you're way under. 64 points.
Oh, gee, everyone was playing.
The starting lineup scored 35 points for the Clippers last night. A starting lineup of Amir Coffey, Terrence Mann, Norm Powell, Ivica Zubats, and Nick Batum. I don't think that's the squad you're going to see Thursday night in Milwaukee. That's why it's our marquee matchup of the week. Up next for the Bucks, though, tomorrow night they take on the Charlotte Hornets. 7 o'clock tip-off, 6:30 is when our pregame coverage with Dave Kane and myself begins. And be sure to stick around afterwards for Bucks Talk. Talk to you tomorrow night on WTMJ.